Pentecost, and I was looking at several of the feasts of the Lord. So I was enjoying it, so I thought I would do a series on the feasts of the Lord. So this is the Feast of the Lord, part one. This will be an introduction tonight. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4. Preaching out of Leviticus. Praise God. These are the Lord's appointed festivals or feasts. The sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. Heavenly Father, reveal yourself to us through your appointed feasts at your appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, God often used visual aids to teach us spiritual truth. Spiritual truths. God often used visual aids to teach us spiritual truths. Easy for me to say. Let me get some water. Visual aids. You teach a child, your child, a grandchild, the alphabet. You don't begin by giving them a lecture on the theory of language. That's not where you start. No, you get the little blocks with the A and the B and the C carved in it, right? And you start showing them an apple and then a bee and then a cat. And you start doing all that. But you use the visual aids to help get them going. Elizabeth had this little thing that stuck to the refrigerator, and she would put the A in there and it would sing a song, A, B, and to sing a song about A, and I heard A 1,000 times every day. I'm like, she's got to hurry up and learn A. Well, God throughout the Old Testament used visual aids as pictures in much the same manner. He did this because of our fallen sinful nature, sinful condition. It was difficult for us to understand who God is, these spiritual truths, without these visual aids. We perceive things through our physical senses much more clearly than we do through our spiritual senses. We have a physical body, so things physical help us to understand spiritual things much better. If you need an example, we just took communion. You had something physical in your hand, the bread. You had something physical in your hand, the cup, that helped us understand what was going on in the spiritual, in the supernatural. So when God began to teach his covenant people, the Jewish people, he did so through the use of visual aids, these pictures. And God gave these pictures in the form of various religious laws and rituals, festivals, that the Jewish people were to observe. As the Jews practiced these laws and these rituals, they would understand who God is more, and they would understand the spiritual truths behind these. Now, just as a child's blocks, or the letter that got stuck on the fridge, and the song, is not the alphabet entirely, neither are these physical pictures complete in themselves. These are just the beginning stages to build onto and to add onto. Now, ultimately, the visual aid, after centuries upon centuries of looking at these pictures, these Old Testament pictures, the ultimate visual aid came in the form of a person, came in the form of Jesus Christ, a visual aid, if you will, if you'll follow that example tonight. So while the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures provided the pictures, when we get to the New Covenant, the New Testament, it is provided by the person. Jesus said, if you have seen me, the visual aid, you have seen the Father. So the pictures in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, pointed to the person of Jesus Christ, pointed to the New Testament. All these rituals and all these feasts were pointing ahead a little bit at a time. Here's the block with the A on it, and here's the block with the B on it, and here's the block with the C on it, getting us to the ultimate visual aid in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is God's ultimate visual aid. The pictures, however, are still important because they help us know the person better. The pictures are still in our mind. The pictures are the foundation work that help us know the person. We have a relationship with the person of Jesus, but the pictures, they still help us know the person better. So what were some of these Old Testament pictures that pointed ahead to Jesus Messiah? Well, number two, some of the clearest visual aids that God gives in the Bible are the feasts of the Lord. Some of the clearest visual aids that God gives in the Bible are the feasts of the Lord. If you study church history, Christians during the time of the Reformation were told that these spiritual pictures, these feasts, were Jewish feasts. These were the feasts of the Jews. And when Jesus came along, he fulfilled them. And by fulfilled them, they mean did away with them, and they're not really important anymore. Many Reformation fathers taught this. But the Bible refers to these religious holidays as the feast of the Lord, not as the feast of the Jews. So they are still important for us Gentiles tonight to understand what was going on. Now, it's true that the Jewish people were the ones who were using these feasts to reveal who the Messiah is and what he would be like. The Jewish people would act out through these festivals, these feasts, as kind of like a dress rehearsal for the coming of the Messiah. They were going to use these pictures, these feasts, to show us what Messiah would be like and help us to learn the overall redemptive prophetic plan of God through these feasts. So for about 1,500 years after the law of Moses was given and the feasts were given, the Jewish people performed the drama, if you will, of redemption through these feasts as a picture pointing us to the person of the Messiah, which we believe is Jesus Christ. So for 1,500 years, year after year after year, they would go to these feasts, they would perform these feasts, and it was pointing us to the redemptive plan and who the person of Messiah would be and what he would be like. So number three, God appointed three feast seasons with seven individual feasts. So there are three feast seasons, and within those three seasons, there will be seven feasts total. And we'll mention what they are in a moment. Scheduled them on the Hebrew calendar in such a way that the Jewish people would have to travel to Jerusalem three times a year to keep these three feast seasons. You can read about that in Exodus 23, which I didn't give you, but if you would like the reference, Exodus 23, 14 through 17. So the three feast seasons were known as A, Passover. How do you pronounce Passover, the word for Passover, Elizabeth? Pascha? Pesach, that's it. We were practicing this. Pesach. The Feast of Passover. That was the first of the three feast seasons. The purpose of Passover was to teach the Hebrews how to find God's peace. And we're going to go into all these in detail over the next 7 weeks, so you don't have to write this down tonight. The Passover included the Feast of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. So the season of Passover included three different feasts within Passover. One was actually called Passover, one of the feasts was called Unleavened Bread, and one was called First Fruits, and they all fell within the season of Passover. B, Pentecost, which we just recognized Sunday, Pentecost. How do you pronounce that one, Elizabeth? Shavuot? Shavuot? Shavu? T is silent. The second feast, the second season was Pentecost. Now this is a single feast. And it taught the Hebrews how to receive God's power, which we talked about Sunday. And see, the third feast season is Tabernacles. Sukkot. Tabernacles. The Feast of Booths. How do you pronounce that? Booths. There you go. The purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles was to teach the people how to enter God's rest. And that feast season will include the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, bringing the total to seven individual feasts within those three feast seasons. These three feast seasons represent three major encounters with God in the lives of His covenant people. These encounters with God were for the purpose of providing His divine peace, His divine power, and His divine rest in their lives. Year after year after year, they're reminded about the peace, the power, and rest of God. Peace, power, rest of God. Year after year after year. And when they're all three taken together, they represent seven steps, which we're going to talk about, in the believer's walk with God. All seven feasts represent the way we walk with God. The feasts of the Lord were very important visual aids for the Jewish people, and they ultimately point us to Messiah. And each of these feasts uniquely portray a particular aspect of Messiah's life and ministry. Jesus celebrated every one of these festivals, every one of these feasts we're going to talk about. And every major redemptive event in His life, during His ministry, during Jesus' ministry, happened at one of these feasts. So they're pretty important to know about. Number four, the biblical Jewish calendar. The biblical Jewish calendar. The calendar that you use, that I use today, that the most of the world uses today, is called the Gregorian calendar. Gregorian calendar. Named after Pope Gregory the 13th, established in 1582. Did you know that? Gregorian calendar. You learned something new at church tonight. The Gregorian calendar says this is June the 7th, 2017, the year of our Lord. Our calendar is a solar calendar or a sun calendar. It operates on the principle of the earth revolving around the sun. Did you know that? Science class tonight. All right. The days on this calendar begin at midnight. Did you know our days begin at midnight? Some of you are still awake at midnight. Your day's just beginning, right? And our days last for how many hours? 24 hours. All right, you're with me. It takes approximately 365 and one-fourth days for the earth to make a complete circle around the sun. This is how we determine the length of the year of the Gregorian calendar. Adjustments are made every 4 years for this extra quarter of a day, and we call this a what? Leap year. During the leap year, we have 366 days. Now, the biblical calendar, or the Jewish calendar, is not a solar calendar or a sun calendar. What type of calendar do they have? A moon calendar, a lunar calendar. Very good. Come forward, Elizabeth. Sit on the front row. Help me out. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar or a moon calendar. It is based on the movement of the moon around the earth. The days on the biblical calendar, the Jewish calendar, if you will, the days on this calendar begin at sundown, not at midnight, approximately at 6 p.m., and they also last for 24 hours. But it takes 29 and a half days for the moon to make a complete, approximately, to make a complete circle around the earth. So there are 12 of these lunar months, but when you multiply 12 times 29 and a half, you come up with 354. So there are 354 days in our lunar calendar. We have 365, they have 354. So the difference of the calendars means that the solar year, the year that we recognize, I'm going somewhere, stay with me, don't look at me like I got two heads, all right? The difference in the calendars, our solar calendar and their lunar calendar, is 11 1/4 days longer for us. This difference requires that the Jewish people make adjustments in their calendar, or after a few years, they're going to be way off, way off in what season it is. They will be celebrating their feasts in the wrong season of the year. And God has a fixed time, according to Leviticus 24 that we read tonight, the fixed season that these feasts are going to be performed in. So if they do not adjust their calendar, they're going to be off. He told them to have the Feast of Passover in the spring. So if they don't periodically adjust their calendar, they're going to miss the second year by 11 and a half days, and then if they keep going 5 years, they're going to miss it by 56 days, and it's not going to be spring anymore. So they have to make adjustments. So to compensate for this difference, they don't have a leap year per se like we do. Instead of adding an extra day every fourth year, as the Gregorian we do, as the solar calendar does, they add an extra month at the end of every 3 years. This is going to be on the test, so you need to be careful. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. This month is about 29 and a half days long and makes up most of the difference between the two calendars, the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. This adjustment enables the Jewish people to keep their feasts and the seasons called for by God. Now hang on. Here we go. Number 5. The Jewish people had two concurrent, going on at the same time, had two concurrent calendars, the sacred and civil calendars. The sacred and civil calendars. The sacred calendars, that was the one established by God when God brought them out of Egypt. He started his sacred calendar at Passover, when they passed over, the death angel passed over them and they went through the Red Sea. God delivering the Israelites from Egypt started this calendar, this sacred calendar called Nisan, not the car, but the month, also known as Abib, you might heard it called. This is the first month of the sacred calendar year. So each month on the lunar calendar, our calendar, matches up, let me read it again. Each month on the lunar calendar may come in 1 or 2 months compared to their calendar. So Nisan corresponds to our months of March or April, depending on what year it is, if they've added the extra month or not. You say, what does all that mean? Well, let me straighten it out for you. That's why Easter is different every year. You always wonder, why is Easter early this year? Why is it late? Have you ever wondered that? Are you with me on that? It's because we're following the sun. I follow the sun. Me and the Beatles follow the sun. They're following the moon. And our calendars are different. Now, they also have a civil calendar or an agricultural calendar. Now, their civil calendar begins with the month of Tishra, which corresponds with us to the months of September or October, because we're following the sun, they're following the moon. So the beginning of their civil calendar or their agricultural season, they were farmers, so they had a farming calendar, if you will, a civil calendar. Their agricultural, it began with the early rains. You heard about the former rain and the latter rain. You've heard those old songs about this. This was the calendar year. The early rains that softened the ground. So their first month on the farming calendar begins in October or November. This was followed by the wheat, barley being planted in November, seed being planted in November and December. The winter rains come in December to January to keep the ground soft. followed by the blossoming of the almond trees in January to February, the citrus harvest in February to March, the spring or latter rains fall in March and April, concurring with the beginning of the barley harvest, the first fruits, the dry season from April to May, all the way to September or October. The barley harvest lasts through the spring months, followed by the wheat harvest in May and June. The grape harvest comes next in the months of June and July. July and August was the time of the olive harvest, and the season ended with the harvest of dates and figs in August and September, and they start the civil calendar all over again. Why did I tell you all that? That you'll never remember, and you probably forgot it already, and you think I'm babbling. The sacred calendar, when God set them free from Egypt, starting with the Passover, and the civil calendar, when the rains begin and they begin to plant and they begin to harvest, the sacred calendar and the civil calendar will come together all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout Scripture, all throughout these feasts, and it will give Israel a visual aid for who God is, and they will point to Christ. And that's what we're going to see over the next 7 weeks. You're going to see the sacred calendar through these feasts and the civil calendar, the agricultural calendar, what's being harvested, what's being planted, the rains coming, the dry season. They're all going to interconnect during these feasts, and God's going to give them a picture of who He is, of what He's up to in the world, and what Messiah is going to be like. So I didn't waste your time. I don't think, anyway. Number six, the spiritual truths symbolized by the feast are available for all who encounter God through a personal relationship with Jesus the Messiah. The spiritual truths symbolized by the feast are available to all who encounter God through a personal relationship with Jesus the Messiah. As Christian believers, as Gentiles, the very first encounter that we have with God through Jesus brings us forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with our Creator God. The result is that we have peace with God as well as the peace of God. We have peace with God and the peace of God. For this reason, the first feast season is Passover, which shows us the peace of God. The Feast of Pentecost is next, celebrated next, because it represents the second major encounter with God, which is His power. And we all, through Christ, receive the power of God working in our lives. Once we have the peace with God through our personal relationship with Christ, we can experience His power. And the third season is the Feast of Tabernacles. At the end of the agricultural season and at the beginning of the new one, God placed it in this position on the sacred calendar and in the civil calendar because it represents His third and last encounter with His people to bring them rest, to bring us rest. So in our place, in our walk with God, where we find His divine rest for our souls. So God's peace comes first, then His power, then His rest. So the study of the sacred calendars, the study of the civil calendar, the study of these feasts, they might not be important in themselves for you because we don't follow a lunar calendar. And we're not farmers anymore. But our knowledge of these is important for the purpose of understanding God's plan of redemption and salvation for mankind through the person and work of Jesus Messiah. So over the next several weeks, as we study the feast of the Lord, we will see that God does have a plan for redeeming all who come to faith to Him through Jesus Messiah. All right. If nothing else, you learned about We're on a solar calendar and a lunar calendar. You can tell everybody, you know why Easter is different every year? Let's pray. Father, at your appointed time, reveal yourself to us. Lord, we're just getting past Pentecost now. So Lord, would you pour out your power on us? Lord, we're about to enter a dry season, an ordinary time, as the church calls it. But Lord, your power gets us through the dry seasons, the ordinary times. We have peace with you. We have your power to lead us, guide us, strengthen us, and direct us. Continue to reveal yourself to us through your word, through your feasts. Point us to Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. Lord, just bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to every person here. And give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.